G'day, it's Barra here with Angela Sun and our own cricket legend Brad Hogg for another massive Dead Set Legends podcast.
This week on the show, we spoke to the only person to win world titles in three combat sports, fresh from winning the World Boxing Foundation light middleweight title, local boy Daniel Dawson, who had an amazing story to tell us.
And we chatted to Damien Martin, who was looking forward to the start of the Perth Wildcats season.
Plus, what you talking about, Willis? Steve Willis, a.k.a. The Commando, was in town for the WA Fitness Show.
But first up, we spoke to radio legend and ex-NRL player Mark Geyer ahead of the NRL Grand Final.
And over there is the man who's the number one rating radio man in Sydney, which is pretty big, and he's a mate of ours by the name of Mark Geyer, rugby league legend, former Western Reds, joins us on the line. G'day, MG, how are you?
Prince Harry, wait there, mate. I'm just going to talk to these guys. I've just got Harry over my house for a barbecue, boys and girls, and he's having a fun time in the riff.
How's Sydney going at the moment? I'm just watching some pictures on whatever that station is there, and I'll tell you what, it looks magnificent, the harbour.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, they say, as you mentioned in the intro, Barra, that it's the biggest day since the Olympics. They're forecasting over 1.5 million people to flock to the shore today to see the fleets, and I'll tell you, it's a spectacular sight, and it's a good weekend, you know, that last weekend of the NRL competition, it's finally come. After a year, I'd say that it's been clouded with a lot of controversy regarding ASADA. Finally, we can put a full stop on a competition that's probably spluttered along this year.
Now, I'm a Roosters fan from way back.
We
haven't won a premiership in 11 years. Can we do it, MG? Can we do it?
Of course you can. Yeah, of course you can. You've been the standout team all season, probably a bit like Hawthorn in the AFL. It'll take a Herculean effort to beat Roosters, and I think Manly are the only team who can beat the Roosters. Manly are they've come good at the right time. A month ago, they were basically down and broken. They had every one of their main stars had a niggling injury that was causing concern, and Brett Stewart was out. But he's back, and look, this is one of them grand finals when, honestly, it's a toss of a coin.
Well, let's test her out, MG.
Don't test me out.
A Roosters fan.
Well, I've been over here for 5 years. Let's not forget.
Who were Eastern Suburbs? Who were they?
Eastern Suburbs? What are you talking about? The Roosters.
Yeah, she is Dinkum.
That was
well
a stupid
done
question.
Well, a lot of people wouldn't know that. Called Sydney Roosters now. Over to you, Hoggy.
Well, Manly are definitely going to win this game. They've been beaten by the Roosters three times this year, but they've got 11 players in there that have played in their premiership team from 2011. Roosters haven't got that experience. What do you reckon, MG?
It does count, Hoggy. It really does. I happen to be lucky enough to play in two grand finals in 1990. We basically celebrated like we'd won it. We had street parade after street parade, and we had meetings with the mayor, and we handed the keys to the city, and that was before we even played the game. And we actually got caught up in all that hysteria, and we even the night before the grand final breakfast, we stayed at the Regent in Sydney. And as you know, you can take the boys out of Penrith, but you can't take Penrith out of the boys.
Very true.
We started ordering Dom Perignon and oysters. We ordered about $1,000 worth of room service, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door, and one of our players who was on the drink with us in there said, "It's Gus, our coach." And I said, "Oh, don't let him in. He's look at this. Looks like we've had an animal party." He walked in and he said to us, "Boys, I just want to say one thing to you, and that's you just lost the grand final." And history will tell you we did. And the next year we were a lot more experienced. We held our nerve, and we didn't celebrate anywhere near as much as making it, and we won one. So, to answer your question, Hoggy, I think it plays a really, really big part, and so does emotion. But ultimately, it's the team that wants it the most.
The determination.
The moment, both teams want it, so that's why it's such a riveting encounter that's looming.
I can remember going out with the Reds, mate, and we went to a fancy restaurant. Some bloke ordered horse duvers, and it was hors d'oeuvres.
You fellas.
How can some people be anti-pasta?
Exactly, brother.
Talking about food, one of the Manly players, I think it's Williams, isn't it, that just eats raw meat for the whole season?
The Wolfman, yeah. The Wolfman's revolutionised his diet. He used to eat a lot of processed food Now he eats raw fish, raw steak, raw eggs, raw...
What do you think about that, MG?
I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, me too.
But it's working for him. He's been the former winner in the competition, and he's playing a lot better. Like, he's playing a lot better this year than he did last year. So there must be some proof in the pudding or in the raw food.
So who are you tipping, great man?
Manly 22-20, the Clive Churchill medalist.
Ooh, and you're taking the girls to One Direction?
Mate, got them tickets. You got the girls' tickets. Six tickets for the girls, and I'm the most popular dad in Penrith.
Imagine MG at One Direction.
I'm not even speaking. That Harry's a bit of a sword. I might go and check him out.
You didn't just say that.
Good on you, mate. You're on fire. Have a great weekend. It's fantastic in Sydney. And let's
see.
I wish
I was there.
Yeah, Ange is missing it. So Manly, you're tipping, and Cherry Evans, one of the best going around to win the medal. Good on you, mate.
Always great to talk to you. Bye.
This story is about a young West Australian man by the name of Daniel Dawson, who's just won the WBF light middleweight crown. But there's a lot more to talk about with Daniel than just that, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Dan. How are you, mate?
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Great to have you on the show. Look, congratulations, firstly, on your title. I guess that's pretty big itself. Well, tell us a little bit about that first. How do you feel about being a middleweight champion?
Oh, mate, this is awesome. It really is a dream come true, and it's been about a 20-year career for me, nearly two decades of combat sports. I've been in with Muay Thai at the start, and then to kickboxing, and then now to boxing. So,
wow.
Incredible career so far.
Now, you have won three world titles in all three different combat sports. What's the hardest thing to change from boxing to kickboxing to the Thai boxing?
Mm. Oh, geez, it took a while going to boxing with the footwork and just not letting a kick fly at someone. that was sort of the hardest part. But no, it's just the style change from Muay Thai boxing is it's the same as kickboxing but with elbows and knees and grappling. So it's sort of, I guess, the closest thing to the MMA, the UFC that you can get as a stand-up sport. So there's quite a bit of difference between all the arts, but it's been a fun journey, that's for sure.
What's the toughest one, like physically?
Oh, geez, everyone asks me that. Like, what's harder? Is boxing harder? Is Muay Thai harder? They're both hard in different ways. The Thai boxing is just brutal on your body physically. Like, your body has to be so hard and so conditioned. But it only goes for five rounds, even in the world title fight.
Okay.
So the length isn't as long. I mean, you endure a lot of pain in that five rounds.
Yeah,
but,
I bet.
In the boxing, the length is 12 rounds, which is, I mean, the fight goes for 46, 47 minutes.
Wow.
Which is an incredible time to be in there, competing in any sport. Sort of like, I guess, in the tennis, you know, the guys are going for hours. It's just, it's a really big endurance match. So, one's more endurance and one is more conditioning.
Mm. Now, mate, the amazing bit about you, though, is obviously your nickname's The Rock, Daniel The Rock Dawson, and it's... your challenging life story, your journey, mate. It's listed here in front of us, and obviously you're born in Kalgoorlie. It says here, if it's okay with you, I'll just read a bit of it. Always the poor.
Go for it, mate. No, it's good to get it out there.
Always the poorest child at primary schools, attended over 20 different schools throughout Australia, changing house with your mum. And then you even go detail how, well, you drifted off into drug addiction, and you're on... well, drug benders, I guess you'd say, and then it was Muay Thai that sort of pulled you back from the brink there, and you fell in love with Muay Thai and your passion for a better life, and that's what's been driving you since.
Yeah, definitely. Growing up, it was quite difficult. My father wasn't around, so just having good influences in your life was quite hard to come by at that time. Was moving around with mum. And the sports was the influence that was great for me, that got me out. I actually started with Aussie Rules before I went to Muay Thai, and that was just fell in love with sports and with the challenge, and obviously with something positive where you're working with a group of people to achieve a common goal. I mean, to me that was just one of the greatest things that I'd had in my life so far. So I just reveled in going into sports and trying to get as much as I could out of it, and I could see that everything you're doing within the sports had a positive result around everyone around you. So it was just something I fell in love with, that challenge of sports, the challenge for myself to do something great and also working with the coaches and your teammates to achieve good things. So, yeah. Mate, their sports definitely, I'd say, saved my life in a way, definitely.
Wow. But you also had a couple of challenges, didn't you? I mean, you started tough, Muay Thai got you out of it, then you sort of had a setback in one of your careers, and then you went back to that, I don't know if you went back to drugs, but you jumped on the drug benders, and then you had to fight back again.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think, you know, growing up, you know, we get little... things happen to us when we're young, and we hold them through our whole life. Some of these little things that we sort of hardwire into our brains, and it's you know, understanding yourself over all these years is what's really helped me. And depression was a huge part of it. Like, going through a lot of depression in my late teens, and then, you know, late 20s as well, and it just seemed. I'd sort of brush it to the side and cover it up with my sports, with my friends, with sort of, you know, drug addictions as well, or sort of any addiction. That would cover up the issues, but it wouldn't get rid of the issues. It's just a cover for them. And what sort of saved me in the last 10 years or so was doing a lot of study in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming.
I haven't heard of that before.
Yeah, and it's something very different. Yeah, it's just psychology. It's understanding the
your brain,
the roadmap of the brain. Yeah, it's understanding the brain, how it works, yourself, and getting a better grip on yourself and why you're doing the things you're doing, how you're taking the information in around you, how you're processing it, and then how you're reacting from that information. So,
and does that help with your sport as well?
Yeah, that was a little bit through coaches, a little bit of my own research, and just really wanted to, even for my sport myself, I just wanted to be the best I could be. I looked at other guys, and, just for an example, like, you look at Michael Jordan, there's a million other basketball players, and Michael Jordan is amazing, and there's a lot of guys that are really good, and they're getting paid a lot of money, and they're up there at the top of their sport, same as in football or any sport, but why is Michael Jordan, you know, sort of 10 times better, why is he a standout, why are the other guys not? So I started really looking into, reading a lot about Anthony Robbins. There's another guy in America called Eric Thomas, who's just almost like, I look at him like a father figure to me.
And Dan, mate, Sly Stallone, when he rang you up, you must have, you thought your mates were having a joke on you or what?
Oh, mate, hey guys, it was just just amazing. You know, I'll tell you what, meeting him, he was such a cool guy. He was such a nice guy. And what a dream come true, meeting him.
How did it go, Daniel? Yo, Daniel. Hey, Daniel, your dog. Where's Adrian?
I wish he had a talk like that. It would have made it funny. He was actually really cool and soft-toned and really nice guy. But I tell you what, meeting him and Sugar Ray Leonard in the same room, and Mark Burnett, the producer of all the TV shows, like Survivor, and I mean, you're just sitting there thinking, oh my god, I keep pinching myself or something, like, can't believe I'm here with these guys, you know. But they were all such cool guys. It was really good.
So you jumped on the TV show The Contender, and you'd met all these famous people, but then afterwards, all your demons came back again, and you slumped back again, did you?
I tell you what, it was just incredible. It was incredible because. You know, knowing that I was going to be part of that, and I went through about 4 weeks of tryouts and it was physical, mental. We did all sorts of physical testing, mental testing, and psych tests, and I made it on the show, and it was one of the favorites on the show with a few of the other guys, then I wasn't allowed to go on the show after other things back here with managerial problems and I ended up, just the fact that I couldn't go on just sort of triggered all these other things from the past, and, depression sort of came back, it was a tough ride. It was a tough ride actually coming back from that one.
Now, you've had a lot of trouble with managers and coaches ripping you off over the years. Any messages for young sportsmen out there, what to watch for with so many managers trying to control sportsmen these days?
Oh, I tell you what, like, it's really up to the sportsman. This is something I've done in the last sort of 5 or so years, is really take responsibility for yourself as an athlete, as a brand, and take responsibility and put yourself in the right hands. Like, you've got to go out there and get the right people around you. I mean, if you feel you're looking to do big things and the team around you isn't pushing you in the right direction, then like your loyalty lies to your family and yourself. You know, like if you're not getting where you need to go, you really need to get the right team around you, and that's the biggest thing I could say, is get the right people around you.
Well, and finally, mate, and thanks for your time. Obviously, you've done it again. You've risen to the top of your sport in boxing.
But world history, Australian history. I made Australian history,
well
sporting
done.
History, and world sporting history with this fight. So
come on.
Amazing!
I could not believe it. No one's ever done it before. It's incredible.
Three different styles of fighting, but with all this information that's being pushed out, what is your end game, G-Man? Is this part of your recovery? That telling people your story. Are you going to write a book?
This is the biggest part of it. I will write a book. I've just started now, but. The biggest part of it is just inspiring and motivating other people to do the same, to get past their problems, to get past their issues, and realize that, you know, and no matter what time in life, no matter what age, that they can still develop the mindset, develop the body to achieve the things that they want to achieve. And it's been like me getting through it and getting to where I am now. Like, there was so many times like I could have given up, and I wanted to give up, and I wanted to stop, and there's obviously other things I could have done, but I feel like if you run away or give up in anything in life, it doesn't matter what you're going to do, you're going to start a pattern where you're going to do that. And I really wanted to, you know, to use my story to help other people to do the same in their lives, to achieve great things and stay with it. And I just wanted to touch on that and say that, you know, with myself and with my family now, it's really is the best it's ever been. Having that understanding of myself, you know, it's translated into my family, and that love and care and that is there, that sort of wasn't there in childhood. And I tell you what, it's heartwarming, you know, to have that touch there with the family. And
no doubt.
It's all about believe. And you know what this guy's done? It's a bit like Gary Ablett. If he won an AFL Grand Final, Rugby World Cup and a FIFA World Cup, that's how good this guy is with combat sports.
Dan, I hope you've inspired some people who are listening, mate, and keep up the good work. And let's hope you stay on the straight and narrow, brother.
Oh, definitely, brother. I'm definitely on that, guys. Thank you so much. It was great to have a chat, and look forward to chatting to you again.
Good on you. Damien Martin from the Wildcats joins us on the line. He'll be a great parent one day. G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you, Paradise?
I need you in here, mate. I'm copping it left, right and centre.
You're in no rush to be a parent yet, are you?
Oh, no. I've actually got Brittany standing right next to me, so I better be careful with this answer, but not yet.
My advice is don't have kids till you've grown up yourself, mate.
Oh, it could take a while then.
Exactly. Big launch yesterday at, I don't know, where was it? Convention Centre, wasn't it? And our man, the great Dennis Cometti, is the number one ticket holder of the Wildcats. That's great to have the great Den on board.
Mm.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All the players are unaware of who they were making the number one ticket holder. So when we got there and we saw Dennis, we thought, what's he doing here? And then he got up and spoke, and he was fantastic. I didn't realise how much involvement.
Oh, early days.
Yeah. He was great. So it was good to hear him reminiscing about the, you know, the good old days, and now to have him back on board, it's fantastic. And someone that I've, you know, loved listening to when he's, you know, calling the football or all the media things he does. So it's great to have him as a Wildcat supporter.
Did he used to play basketball?
No, initially he was the commentator for Seven when the basketball was massive. It was on Seven,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's still big now, but it was huge then, and the Black Pearl was going around, you know, and all the rest of it, and Cometti was commentating, and it was at its halcyon days, wasn't it, as they say?
Yeah, it was, and hearing some of the old footage of him calling it was just great. So his enthusiasm behind the game, and as you said, the Black Pearl running around, it would have been some interesting days to call.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's your first game coming up next Friday, I think, Adelaide Sixers, 6:30 at the Perth Arena, and you've Matt Knight's got an injury, but you've got a young Jared Prue coming in. Can you tell us about Jared?
a young Jared Prue, if he's at the retirement village.
Well, he's young to me. I reckon he was down at Willerton Cricket Club as a 15-year-old playing junior cricket down there. And I think, if I'm right, his old man umpired Test cricket.
Ooh,
yeah, you are. You're exactly right. So, no, it's great to have Jared on board. He's been, you know, in the SPL, the state league for so many years, and just been one of those guys that's admired from, you know, players of all levels. And so to see him get an opportunity in the NBL is fantastic. He's a local boy, and he's come in to replace Matty Knight, and will do a fantastic job for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Hey, when you get to the Perth Arena, do you start going through all the cupboards there and that and see if any of these stars have left stuff behind, like any One Direction leftovers or
Rihanna's
little Vodi bottles or something.
we were in there last year the day after Beyonce had been on stage, so you better believe we were having a look around. But I thought it was really weird when Greg Hoyer went to the bathroom to have a look. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. So it's always exciting to know who's been in that same locker as you the day before.
That is a bit weird. What the?
Anything to take home.
Yeah, any souvenir.
And what about next week's game? You kick off against the Adelaide 36ers. You must be pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, definitely. They were actually our first home game last year. So we started last season with 5 road trips waiting for the arena to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Came home all excited, sold our crowd, and we actually lost to them. So we want to redeem ourselves. First home game this year against our nemesis in the Adelaide 36ers, and they've recruited really well in the off-season, so it should be a great game.
Well, you beat Townsville in the warm-up game. Are you all ready?
Yeah, we showed a lot of good signs, but the refereeing this year has completely changed, so every team at the Blitz, you know, I think there's more free throw shot than field goal attempts, which is, you know, not what we want in the game, but they're trying to open up the game so all the, you know, the offensive superstars can, you know, be a more interesting game to watch once we adjust to the refereeing. So guys like James Ennis and Bill, who are our two imports, they're going to absolutely love playing in the NBL because they're going to be opened up and their offensive skill set is going to be shown to everyone. And James Ennis is a freak, so come out and watch him because he's just a highlight reel.
Yeah, a few more alley-oops. Maybe you might even get on the end of one, eh?
I'll probably be the guy passing it. I don't think I'll be the guy dunking it, but if I get on the tip, I'll take it.
White men can't jump. Hey, good on you, mate. So it's the Wildcats, October 11 at Perth Arena, so next Friday against the Adelaide 36ers. A great venue, and it's going to be a great kickoff to the season. Good on you, Marto. We'll keep in touch.
Thanks a lot, guys.
He's on Australian's version of the Biggest Loser, and he's the bloke in the army pants who wears those dark sunglasses and the black t-shirt.
I know the one. You don't need to explain who he is. He's the one with the absolute amazing guns.
Hey, good morning, Steve. That's a good introduction, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm sure you've had that before, Steve.
Once or twice.
Hey, what's the go with the sunnies, mate? You look like the Terminator, and you never take them off. Is that part of your? Is that when you put them on, you're acting, and when you take them off, you're Steve Willis, and when you put them on,
yeah,
you're the commander.
Yeah, that's right. It's like you know, in and out of character. But at one stage, I think I was even wearing them at night, but I think I've managed to humanise myself a little more.
You're bumping into too many things.
Now, Commando, you are here for the fitness show, which is on at the convention centre this weekend. Now, besides being the pinup boy for the best abs and guns, what are you actually doing at the fitness expo? Sorry to embarrass you.
I'll be running a few training sessions,
mm-hmm.
so people can jump online and buy tickets there. I'll also be doing a Q&A session and a meet and greet. Just some photos and signing some things for people.
Mm.
Now, you have been in the CrossFit Games, and I'm pretty interested in that, in my fitness. Now, what's the hardest thing about CrossFit Games?
All of it, I'd say.
the hardest thing about the CrossFit Games is, unlike any other sport, you're training for the unknown and unknowable. So when you show up to a competition, you don't know what the workouts are.
Gosh, you have no idea.
No, and one thing, they'll play with you as well, and they'll release the workout a day or two before the competition, just so it can mess with your head. Because if you're not good at a certain exercise or, you know, modality, it starts to stress people out. And anyone that's competed knows what it's like to not be good at something but has to face up to it in competition.
Now, what is the next big fitness craze over the last few years? Zumba's taken over the world. Is CrossFit the next big thing, or have we already been there, done that?
Oh, CrossFit's been around for a long time. It really started to come to the forefront around 2003. It's growing exponentially. Just in North America alone, there's over 6,000 CrossFit affiliates. In Australia, it's grown from a handful of around 20 to, I think there's up around between 600 and 800 CrossFit affiliates in Australia and New Zealand.
This might out me, Steve, but what is CrossFit exactly?
Essentially, it's just taking different modalities.
Modalities?
Your cardiovascular conditioning, your gymnastic or anything body weight, and weightlifting and combining them together in to time circuits.
Ah, okay. Seriously, I didn't know about that. I'll have to check it out. Hey, what would be your advice for a 40-something gentleman who might have been a few pounds overweight? And,
a few?
Go on to the Commando's online website. You can buy a few products off him as well.
Mm. Is there an easier way than that, Commando, though?
Got any easier way than what exercise?
Yeah, got any shortcuts? It's all about eating, isn't it, as well?
Oh, definitely. Nutrition is one of the biggest parts of it all. If you can't out-train a bad diet, so you've got to lock that down, and you've got to be consistent.
Remember that, Barra.
You can't out-train a bad diet. I like that, mate. That's very good. And my last question I wanted to ask you was, you never seem to smile on the show.
I'm always smiling.
Is that hard? Because you must see some funny things with...
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's much easier not to smile when you've got the sunglasses on.
That's right.
In post, I'm sure they're working frantically trying to remove all the scenes where I am smiling. Cracking up laughing, but...
Commando, you're a big softy, really, on the inside, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
That's it for another awesome week on the Dead Set Legends.
Continue the conversation online at our Facebook page, Mix945, or follow us on Twitter at Mix945Perth.
And you can catch us next Saturday from 8 a.m. for another Dead Set Legends Showdown.